They're hugging. They're saying, I'll see you. Are they going to kiss? Are they going to kiss? Are they going to kiss lips?
They're going to kiss.
Are they going to touch tongues? Oh, my God.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 423, Coda, which originally aired on May 23rd, 2001.
Yep. I'm a high school graduate. I'm a high school graduate, just like our Cape Cityans.
Insane.
I'm off to the big city of Syracuse, New York.
Wow, the salt city. Way to go.
The snow salt city. Salt from the snow plows. Yeah. This is crazy because I graduated with them, the Cape Cityans.
It is crazy.
And
we're graduating from season four.
We're graduating from season four. It's a season four finale. I'm so sad. The season really was a great season. I love season four. I'm a season four stan. I'm ready to fight the haters. Don't really care that Pacey and Joey broke up. I mean, I do, but like, I don't think it tarnishes the season. I think it was a great breakup. I think it was excellently written. Mm-hmm. Amazingly acted. Mm-hmm. Perfectly executed.
Oh my God.
And I'm here to fight the haters.
Well, there's a lot of them, so get ready.
I'm just kidding. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. But I just want to say that I love season four and I love Gretchen. And looking back, I really liked Mr. Brooks. But I don't want to get into Bobby's territory. This is the finale. This is it. So this is a special episode because it was recorded live. And by that, I mean, we watched the show together live.
Yeah.
In the same room. And we shared one mic, two hosts, one mic.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so the audio is going to be a little bit different than usual. Bear with it. It was a fun time. We were literally touching knees. We were close.
We were touching knees in the same room, watching Coda, having a lot of feelings. It was a really emotional episode. If I watched it alone, I probably would have cried, but you were there. So I didn't.
My cold, dead heart absorbed the tears right out of your eyes.
A very well done episode. And it's basically us just kind of, it was like people's couch.
Yeah.
Like that show on Bravo, where you just watch people watch something.
Totally.
We were just riffing and not the new normal.
No.
You live in New Jersey, New York. I live in LA. You just happened to be in LA and we decided to take advantage of it.
Yeah, we wanted to do it. And it was fun, to be honest.
Was fun.
We'll play that for you in just a second. But before that, we are drinking the Coda. It is gin, triple sec, and Kinato.
What about the writer and director of 423 Coda?
This episode was written by Gina Fattori and Tom Kapanos. As you know, their first episode with us was 305 Indian Summer as a duo. And they're back as a duo.
Love it.
Love it.
Two of our faves. Friend of the pod, Gina Fattori.
Gina Fattori.
And what about the director?
This episode was directed by Greg Prang. Also, I heard someone say Greg Prange recently, and I was like, have we been saying it wrong all the time, all along?
We have been saying everyone's name wrong from the beginning. It's not Nina Rapita, it's Nina Rapita. It's not Tom Kapanos, it's Tom Kapanos.
If anyone knows for sure if it is Greg Prang or Greg Prange, that would be really great to let us know.
Or Prange, like range with a P.
Or Prange. Just kidding.
Which up is down, left is right.
Well, anywho, he was first with us for episode 215. That is the question. So if you want to hear about any of those folks, you can go back and listen to their first episode.
How about guest cast shout out?
Nobody. There's nobody. There's nobody new.
Well, damn. I like that about this episode because, look, it's the last episode in Cape Side. It's the meat and potatoes. We don't have time for guest stars.
No, we got to get down to brass tacks.
We need our people. But spoiler alert, Bessie and Bodhi are not in it. So if you came here for them, you came to the wrong place.
Look, if you're coming here for Bodhi, you're going to be wildly disappointed. He is barely around for the whole show.
I know. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I've stumbled upon those people on TikTok who are watching now for the first time because it just dropped on Netflix and they were complaining like, where's Bodhi? Where's Bodhi? And I was like, come on. We all love Bodhi, but like, that's going to be your complaint that one of the main character's sister's boyfriends isn't being shown? Get a life.
Get a life.
Get out of here.
Well, I think that's all the business we have to take care of. So why don't we dive into us rewatching together?
Well, you guys, I'm going to hit play. This is so exciting. The Jaws music. This is an homage to the pilot, the opening of the pilot.
It's like we're rewatching the pilot.
So this is the horror movie that they shot in the pilot. And Dawson and Joey are sitting in bed watching TV like they were in the cold open of the pilot.
But Joey's got makeup on. We've grown. We've changed.
Dawson and Joey both have their shoes on in the bed.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
They're talking about how they won prize money for this film. And then he went on to make a self-indulgent piece of crap. A.K.A. which island was it?
No, it was about her, and Rachel Lee Cook played her.
Oh.
And Jen was his producer. And then they had sex, almost.
And then they went to the film festival, and Nikki Green told him it was terrible.
That was Witch Island. Dawson's made four films. His horror film from the pilot, The Self-Indulgent Piece of Crap with Rachel Lee Cook, Witch Island documentary, and his Mr. Brooks documentary.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on his IMDb. Dawson Leary. These two are just like, it's the end of senior year. Senior year's over. How did we get here? It feels like yesterday. We were just sophomores watching E.T. We're going to college, babe.
And you've talked about it before, but it's so relatable. The like last few nights before you go to college being like, I want to soak up every minute of my friends that I can.
I know. So Dawson got into the summer program that he submitted his Mr. Brooks documentary for. And he leaves the day after tomorrow.
Joey's very complimentary and very supportive. Are there sparks? I don't know.
I think there's sparks. He doesn't want him to leave. On the film, Pacey the sea monster pulls her in and he asks, have you heard from him? And she says, nope. The sea monster from the deep remains a mystery. So Pacey's vanished without a trace, basically.
The two of them are very much so on the same page. Coming out of their winter relationships.
Yeah, it's kind of picking up from where we left them last episode on the pier, on the dock. When he said, what are you doing this summer? And they said, this.
Oh, there's sparks.
Yeah, but they're not doing this summer because Dawson's leaving early for his summer program.
It is so funny how much going to college felt like an end of like high school and how much it could be if you want it to be, but it doesn't need to be. I'm still friends with all those people.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job, like you said, of just that, oh my God, we're running out of time. I remember I said goodbye to my friends over and over.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I leave on Wednesday, so we have to say goodbye like on Monday and then on Tuesday. No. Then on Wednesday morning.
Yeah. I don't want to wait. Thank you, Netflix.
The original theme is back. Thank God.
They're at the ruins. I love this shot of the four of them, Jen, Jack, Joey, and Dawson laying on the steps leading into the water. Iconic.
They're doing lots of homages to season one. The ruins. I love the ruins.
Casey was ruined at the ruins. I love this too. They're playing Would You Rather, and I feel like that was very real. Did you ever play that?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in college that was a big thing for us.
And they're all about having sex with their principal.
Yeah, until Dawson has a spark and thinks, I've got the best one. Would you rather have sex with Principal Peskin or watch Grams have sex with Principal Peskin, which really makes everyone spiral.
And that wins. Dawson is disgusting. He gets to leave town being the Would You Rather champion.
The four of them are planning on going to the movies together. One last hurrah, and Dawson's late to meet Mitch. We find out they're buying a laptop.
Mitch is so cute. He's in dad mode. He wants to get him the best laptop. And my dad totally did this.
Did your parents? Mine gave me a card on graduation day, and we're like, we're buying you a Dell.
I got a desktop that I remember.
I got a laptop, and about the first month in, a boy spilled a Coke on my keyboard, and my computer was ruined.
Gosh.
Dawson wants to get a Mac. Mitch really wants to get him the PC that has all the bells and whistles. And Dawson's like, well, I don't want that. I want a Mac. And Mitch is like, well, I know what's best. And tells the sales guy that they're going to take the PC with all the bells and whistles. And Dawson's pissed.
Yeah. Dawson said, I don't even want a computer, but it's going to be in your terms. And Mitch is like, I want to buy my son a laptop. Let me do it.
I want to buy him the best one.
Dawson's being real weird.
They're both being a little weird. The Lindley house is empty.
The Ryan house.
I'm sorry. Evelyn Ryan. Jennifer Lindley. It is so weird to see an empty house, especially a house that's been lived in for so long. I remember when we moved my grandma out of her house, going was so weird. Jen's feeling sentimental and asks Grams if they should not go to the movies and stay home in the house for their last night together in the house. And Grams is like, No. We had great years in this house. You go and have fun.
Starting to feel wistful.
Mitch and Dawson are really rubbing up against each other. They get home from buying the laptop and Joey's there talking to Gil. And Dawson says, all right, let's go. They're off to the movies to meet Jack and Jen. And Mitch is like, this is your last night at home. Like, where are you going? You should stay home. You should be with your family. And they have a little dust up in the driveway.
I'm definitely Team Mitch on this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he could even have his friends over. It's not like the friends and family don't know each other. Or just stay for dinner and then go to a later movie. You've been hanging out with your friends all month.
Mitch says, I'm trying to figure out why my son became so insensitive. And he said, around the same time you became so overbearing. And Mitch is like, you're staying for dinner. And Dawson puts his foot down and says no.
Insane. It feels out of left field for both of them. But it's a stressful time. I remember being really stressed out going to college, and I remember with more distance my brother going to college because we're 10 years apart. He was like on the verge of tears. He was so stressed out about leaving, but I get it.
Now, to me, this is Dawson has fallen for Joey again, and he's back in his weird obsessive putting Joey above everything.
Ugh, gross.
And now we're in the islands. We have reggae music going.
We've got aunties weaving baskets.
And there's Pacey. On a boat.
We've got men with locks. We've got people selling fruit. Pacey still has terrible hair.
Pacey needs a phone, and this guy in a puka shell necklace gives it to him. Pacey, terrible shirt. What's happening?
It's terrible.
He's got a little sunburn on his nose.
He's been on a boat. He forgot to pack the sunscreen.
Whoever he called didn't answer.
We've got a Jack Dawson moment. Jack and Dawson are walking. Jen and Joey are in front of them, and they're talking about Dawson leaving, and Jack's going to keep the painting business going all summer while he's gone.
Jack wants to talk about Dawson and Joey saying goodbye because it's a huge moment, and Dawson's like, let me live in denial. It's not that big of a deal.
This is weird to me.
Jack bringing up that Dawson could have spent the whole summer with Joey?
Yeah. Do you think that Jack has secretly been shipping them this whole time? Like, they're all friends. He's Pacey's friend, too. I don't know.
I think now that Pacey and Joey are done, the obvious question is, like, what about Dawson and Joey?
Yes.
The four of them going to the movies also reminds me of, in the pilot, them all going to the movies. So there's lots of, like, little pilot references. And Joey and Jen walking and being on good terms and having a little sisterly chat. It's a very interesting contrast from the pilot.
Yeah, they're talking about how annoying Dawson's little quirks are.
And how Jen had all a summer with Dawson, so she doesn't need a summer with him this year, but Joey might.
Jen brings up the same thing Jack just did. Like, hey, there's an opportunity here for you guys to spend a summer together. If you asked him to stay, he would. Which, again, is weird to me. Let him go to California. Oh, pilot reference.
My God. Joey is like, what makes you think that I want him to stay? And Jen is like, there's a little voice in my head saying, I love your hair color. What number is that? Which is what Joey said to Jen and the pilot.
Yeah.
In the same walk. This really did just remind me of that walk.
But this is also very reminiscent of season one. Dawson's getting ready to leave and Joey has the chance to ask him to stay. Joey was getting ready to go to France and Dawson had the opportunity to ask her to stay. Also, like, is Joey over Pacey? I know that she's not and whatever and they're broken up and he's gone and whatever, but I feel like if I were her, I'd be like, no, I don't know. I also don't like Dawson, so maybe that's my problem.
It's so cute. They want to keep hanging out. They're like, I could eat. Yeah, let's go.
Dawson says he hasn't packed yet. Classic.
Boy, get it together.
I think it would be wild to have to fly to college.
I cannot imagine it.
No.
I've always wondered this ever since Laguna Beach, when Lauren flew to college and Stephen was there waiting for her.
Mm.
Stephen Clady.
I looked him.
I was like, that's crazy. Do people fly to college like their parents don't go with them? Now, I think we know now, like, Laguna and the Hills were, like, whatever, staged. Do people fly to college freshman year and not go with their parents?
And also, like, how do you bring enough stuff?
It's insane.
I don't know.
How do you bring your microwave, all of your Band-Aid?
Yeah. I guess you just have
to buy it
when you get there, but you don't have a car. There's so many logistics. You can't rent a car.
I just don't get it. And what parent, no, I shouldn't even get into that, but what parents sends their kid on a plane alone?
My parents wouldn't let me go to Boston alone. They made me go to Jersey State School.
So they decide that Joey's the first stop because Jen lives next door and Jack's car is at Jen's house. So Mitch and Gail are looking at pictures of Lily and saying that when Lily's 18, they hope that she does the right thing and spends her last night in town with her parents. Mitch is pissed. And honestly, I don't blame him. I think Mitch is a great dad.
Yeah, I get both sides. But I think that there's no world where if my parents were telling me to stay home for dinner the night before I left for college, I would say no to them.
Never.
Never.
Never. He should have just had dinner with his parents and met his friends later.
Yes. Gail's being the voice of reason. She thinks that her men are jabbing at each other because they're both scared about the future.
And they both have the same sense of denial. Gail's just dropping truth.
Yes. You can tell in Mitch's face that he's hit the nail on the head. We're in Dawson's hot Jeep.
Dawson's Jeep is so hot.
Top off. Doors off.
Jack and Jen are like, okay, bye, Joey. See you tomorrow. Dawson's like, I'll walk you to the door. I always think of Joey Potter when I see low-rise jeans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're back.
They're back in a big way. I always think about how awful low-rise jeans are.
I love them.
I mean, they look great on Joey Potter and people with that kind of body. On me, you saw my butt crack.
They're beating around the bush, trying to take, I think, the emotion out of the moment by talking about how Dawson's going to see all these celebrities next year in L.A. And he's like, no, I'm not. And Joey's like, there's tons of malls in L.A. You'll see him.
You're going to be at an organic food store or in line for the movies at the mall, and you're going to see him, Steven Spielberg.
And he says, I'm actually in a Soderbergh phase right now. Soderbergh? Whatever his name is.
He asks him what he would say in that moment if he met Steven Spielberg, the one who shaped his worldview and helped him get through the tough times. And he says, thank you. But he is not saying thank you to Spielberg. He is saying thank you to Joey.
And she's like, I'll see you at Thanksgiving. He's like, actually, my parents are coming to LA with Lily. He's like, well, Christmas then. It's so sad. Her eyes are welling with tears. Over his shoulder, she's crying. My God, I'm like going to cry right now. The end of an era.
Joey is confused, perplexed. He doesn't understand her feelings. Dawson starts to walk away. He turns around to come back to the door and she turns off the porch light.
Oh, she says, go away, sir. Brutal.
I'm done here.
It's a bed and breakfast. You should probably leave your light on.
Great point. Ma'am, this is a business.
I'm sorry. Jack and Jen bought Dawson a phone?
Insane.
How much do you think that is?
I don't know. And also, there's so many logistics in a phone. You need a plan.
Putting him on their plan?
You need a phone number. You need all of these things. What did they get? They got him a Massachusetts line, and now he's going to be long distance?
I got a cell phone before I went.
My first cell phone I got right before the end of junior year because I was driving. And then I lost it immediately at Warped Tour.
Warped Tour. He's saying how their neighbor thing turned out so well because Pacey, Joey, and Dawson used to look at this house like it was a haunted house and they were so afraid of Grams. And it's super cute. It's such a fun nod to
season one
of the pilot. I just love it.
Ben really opened up her world. Grams's world, that is.
She's looking very Taylor Swift in this episode. I can't unsee it. Old Taylor Swift.
Jen just said, wit, we like that around here. Isn't that a callback?
Yeah. Dawson said that to her. I love these two together. This is such a good Dawson-Jen Stan scene.
So cute. Callback again. Callback to season one. Grams just opened the door and interrupted. And in season one, she said, Jennifer. And she made him come back inside. And Jen said, let's just pretend we kissed, okay? Pilot? Pilot.
She says, we didn't even sleep together. And he says, you got 5 minutes? And she says, for you, always. Okay. And they say goodbye and she says, it sucks, doesn't it? And then they just walk away from each other.
I do love the two of them.
I love them. And then Dawson walks in to find the laptop that he wanted sitting there.
The Mac. And Mitch is there. An olive branch.
So Mitch took the PC back and got Dawson the one he wanted. Because Mitch is the best dad ever. God, this is so sad. Mitch says, I know it'd be sad to see you go, but I didn't know I wouldn't not want you to go. I didn't know I'd feel like I don't want you to leave. And he says, whether you're my son or not, you're one of my favorite people.
Oh, this is so
sad.
So sweet. Both a little teary. They have a big hug. So Mitch says, all right, have I covered all my bases? What's the first thing he said?
He says, you know, not to have sex without condoms, right?
And I was the only boy in kindergarten who knew what a Trojan was.
And then he says, you know about drugs. And Dawson says, I can't promise you that I won't dabble in a narcotic and see what it's like.
But I can promise you I'll never be so strung out I steal your TV.
Classic Dawson. He has a weird haircut in this.
Yeah.
It's like part of it. It's
like
different.
I think it has some product in it or something. It's like pushed back, but parted.
Darker too or something.
Yeah, I think it has product in it. I think the product is making it feel darker too. And then Mitch says, can you promise me you'll never join a frat? And Dawson's like, yeah, that I can promise you.
Mitch asks Dawson how his goodbye with Joey went and said it was kind of underwhelming. And Mitch says, this is my last piece of fatherly advice. It's not over until it's over.
Dawson thinks he's corny.
So they're talking about how Jen's mom always wanted to drag her back to Cape Side. And Graham says, yeah, your mother, your poor mother, she always chased the happiness that she had as a teenager. Some people do that. but not you. You and your friends are always so depressed. It can only get better from here. That's a mic drop if I've ever heard one.
Grimm's unpacked the tea kettle so they could have a last cup of tea in the house. And then Jack shows up. Jack couldn't stand the thought of them being home alone tonight. Grimm's is reminiscing. Jenna asks if Grimm's and Grimm's always lived in this house, and she says no. When they met, they were in college, and then they lived with his parents for a bit. She wouldn't recommend that. And then when he became a lawyer, they lived above his firm in an apartment that was so hot. They would go to the roof with a blanket and look up at the stars, and the people with their summer homes would string Japanese lanterns, and everything was beautiful. It's giving Thomas Culpepper died on the beaches of Busan.
This might just be me looking for homages where they're not there. But she says it got so hot that we used to have to go sit outside and sit on a blanket.
Summer.
Yeah. And I thought of Jack and Jen watching the stars because it was so hot. Graham says that she and Gramps were happier. They got their dream house on the Cape, on the water.
And she's exhilarated about the idea of leaving.
And then Dawson gets a call and find out that the person Pacey was trying to call earlier was the Leary house. And he finally gets a hold of Dawson. And he says, how is she? Dawson suggests that Pacey called Joey. Pacey's like, I don't know if that's in the cards right now. But this isn't why he called.
Because you're the only person in Capeside that I regret not saying goodbye to. So sweet.
And you're the only person that really cared about me in all my life. He says, I still think about the way things were.
Back when we were just a couple of dorks wondering if a girl would ever look our way.
That line kind of ruined it. But until then, that was very touching. I was almost on the verge of tears again.
And then Dawson, classic Dawson, made you cringe.
And Dawson tells Pacey he's proud of him. This is a very nice scene.
It is.
It's again capturing the childhood nostalgia really well.
Pacey is a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
Very sweet. And it's a nice button. It feels like it's been a really long time since Dawson and Pacey had a nice.
Yeah. Dawson's trying to pack, but his luggage is completely empty. And we get this amazing song that plays. And he runs out the door. And who is standing right there but Joey Potter herself?
Says, if I don't help you pack, you're not going to have anything to take to LA. So get up there.
They talk about how they each had an excuse to see each other. Hers was packing. His was going to be, I didn't say goodbye to Bestie or Bodie, which is so cute. And then they're watching E.T. just like the pilot. Joey's crying.
Now they have their sneakers up by the pillows.
It's disgusting. They're disgusting. And they have the same conversation.
About Gandhi winning the...
Gandhi won the Oscar. Not E.T., you stupid moron.
He's packing like he's never allowed to come back. There's not a shred of clothing left in the closet. Joey says, do you ever wish that you could just fast forward the next 4 years and see how it all ends up? And Dawson says, I don't have to. After 4 years at Worthington, you're going to be a pedigreed professional. And she says, and you? And he says, I'll be working the night shift over at Kinko's. Come by and say hi.
And then we get that it's like a very quintessential season one shot of Dawson and Joey from above on the bed. He says, I feel like I'm never going to see you again. And he's like, that's crazy. That'll be different. He just says, you know, the people they are now are going to be different from the people they are when they see each other next. His college will change them. So she'll never see this version of him again.
And honestly, that's true.
Yeah. This is a very good nod to Capeside, this episode. It's a very good homage, I guess.
They're asking each other questions. She says,
what's your favorite movie of all time?
And he says, Shaw's.
And he says, you, favorite song?
Daydream Believer.
She says, most embarrassing moment.
He says, when he was exposed making out with Eve in front of the whole school, which is a really fun callback that I kind of forgot about.
And she says, are you kidding? That did wonders for your street cred. And then he says, what about you?
In this very room, when I tried to get you to have sex with me, a golfer shirt.
And he says, I regret not saying yes. And she says, I regret lying to you about sleeping with Pacey.
And Dawson realizes he's the only virgin left in the group.
Dawson's the only one who's a virgin.
He asks Joey if his mythical college girlfriend will have sex with him. And she says, no, she's a prude.
And then he asks about her most all-time life-altering moment ever. And then their theme starts playing. Very emotional.
She says there are a lot of moments, but one that stands out is a couple years ago when they were in the room and standing over by the window and Dawson kissed her. And it was life-altering.
The season one finale. I've been on Dawson's talk a lot. And there's a lot of people who are rewatching the show since it's on Netflix now.
Mm.
And there are a lot of, you know, people who just talk to the screen and kind of just give their thoughts. A lot of season one, like, hate.
Mm.
And it's people watching for the first time and being like, how is the show not canceled? You know, like,
wow.
Season two, it gets so much better, but how did it survive season one? And I'm just like, get real. Season one is iconic.
Yeah, Dawson's unbearable. So I understand if you're coming for Dawson or you're thinking like Dawson's Creek is all about Dawson. I can see how they would be like, what is this?
I can't.
But if you don't recognize that it's an amazing show within the first.
But like insufferable lead characters or frustrating lead characters, I should say, were a thing. There was Dawson, yeah. There was Carrie Bradshaw, there was Rory Gilmore, and I'm sure others, you know? Characters need flaws. Dawson's just annoying. That's all. That's all. So if there's any anti-season one lore going on, I want to change that narrative.
By the end of the pilot, you're like, come on. Ugh.
And then Joey blurts, I want you to stay. And he's like, excuse me? And she's like, there, I said it. And he said, you should have said something before I panicked.
So I said it and I want you to forget it. He's like, how the hell can I forget that? That I wasn't going to say it, but that's not me. I'm not one of those people who suffers in silence.
He says, through tears, my best friend in the whole world's leaving tomorrow and a big part of me wants him to stay. So I hope you don't hate me. He looks really good in this shot.
Yeah, he does. Oof.
And he says, I can never hate you and not for lack of trying either. They're rehashing everything.
Say it all.
She says, it's been one big soap opera these last few years. I wouldn't take any of it back.
Ooh, she likes the way things are now after going through all of it.
But now that things are so nice, you're leaving. My life is such a cruel joke.
It's across from her. As if I thought for 1 second it was the right thing to do, I'd stay, but it's time to go. Time to go, babe.
He says, it's time for you to discover who you are without us. It's time for us to discover who we are without us.
I think he said you. Rude.
He says, this chapter's over. And she's in tears.
She's really crying.
And she says, do you believe in magic? She never believed in magic. Her life was so hard. Her mom died when she was 13. Her dad went to jail. You hope against hope for magic, but it never comes.
And then there was Pacey, and any magic that was there ran out. So how could she believe?
But then there's you. You're proof that someone out there is thinking of me. I'm on the verge of tears. A friend who was always with me.
She looks so upset.
He says, this is my way of saying I'm going to miss you.
And he looks devastated, but not crying. He's going to LA.
He knows he has to go.
He's gonna miss her too.
It's getting late and she needs to leave, and she wishes that the ladder was there so she could climb out the window.
Far more cinematic, he says.
They're standing in front of the window, the same window. The severity of the moment is hitting them.
Daydream Believer plays. Are we at Aunt Gwen's? No, we're in the Leary house.
They're hugging. They're saying, I'll see you. Are they gonna kiss? Are they gonna kiss lips?
Certain kiss.
Are they gonna touch tongues? Oh my God. So what was yours, by the way? And he says, what was my what? And she's gonna say, your most life-altering moment. And he's gonna say, I think it's this right now. Saying goodbye to you, Joey Potter. She still looks like the girl she did season one.
Ooh.
Oh my God. They're inching closer. Their pelvises are touching. They're inching in. Oh my God. His face is being engulfed in the shadow of her head. Oh my God, they do kiss. Yep. I don't remember this.
I knew they kiss.
Oh my God. They kiss and then they switch positions. Their noses alternate.
You know, you gotta go side to side.
They go side to side. And then we cut outside the house and we see their silhouettes, just like season one finale. 3 years later, here we are. Wow.
Wow.
This was a great finale.
Yeah. And I didn't remember, I forgot about the Pacey phone call.
I didn't think Pacey was, that would be my past versus present. I totally did not think that Joshua Jackson was in this episode. I thought last time was it for him, The Graduate.
My past versus present is more, I remember them kissing and I remember thinking it happened earlier, not in the finale. But I don't know why I thought that.
That was a great episode. They really did a great nod to Capeside and season one. And it really, looking back on it, because I remember watching it at the time, I didn't really think that Capeside would fall out. But for those of you who have not watched, we really do leave Capeside. In season five and six, they go to college in Boston, and the show shifts to Boston.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. They do visit Capeside here and there, but it was a really nice tribute to Capeside in the first four seasons.
Yeah. I did not remember all of those callbacks and homages. That was really sweet.
Yeah. They had the cold open, going to the movies, Dawson and Jen outside Graham's house, the ruins.
Graham's interrupting Dawson and Jen saying goodbye to each other. Mm-hmm. Jen and Joey walking and talking in the hair.
And all the little clips of Dawson's original movie.
Love it. Music moment for me has to be Daydream Believer.
For sure. I think that was probably the only music moment.
Yeah, that's true, actually. No Drew Valentine.
Meredith Monroe is gone again, of course.
No guest cast shout out. There was no guest cast.
No Toby.
Oh, thank God.
It would have been nice to see Bessie and Bodhi, but what can you do?
Couldn't you do?
Yeah, I'm sure the last episode was really expensive with the graduation setup and bringing Meredith back and all of those people.
Yeah.
And this was our live special.
Yeah.
What a hoot. All right. Well, that was our rewatch.
That was episode 423. That was us. That was our people's couch moment.
I mean, hopefully you liked it. Again, it doesn't matter because it probably will never happen again.
Not the new normal. Like, fate put us on two coasts for a reason, I guess. And that's so we don't record in the same room ever again.
The universe knew.
We wanted to do it one time. We did it. Okay.
Yeah.
But now we're in our own LA houses.
Yes. Which kind of leads me into what you're watching, because we were together and we did a movie marathon and we watched a Zoom horror movie. And I'm currently feeling as if I'm living inside of that movie as we speak on Zoom.
Yes. We watched four horror movies, the first of which was called Host. It's a Shudder original, which is on Netflix. It was a movie that was filmed during pandemic, or at least pitched during the pandemic. It takes place entirely on a Zoom. So you're looking at it on the TV screen, and it is a group Zoom. And it's kind of, the premise is, you know, when we were in the pandemic, we would do the happy hours, we would do the game nights, all of those things that were over Zoom. And I guess some people did like fortune tellers and seances. And these girls decide to do a Zoom seance, and chaos ensues.
Terrifying.
Spoiler alert. A demon comes to the seance and you're just watching what goes on in the background. Sometimes they will take their camera with them,
walking like down their hallway.
Computer with them, and you'll kind of see it in their POV. But mainly it's just this. It's just you're seeing something over someone's shoulder. It was very good.
It was very good. It was very scary. And yeah, we went in with low expectations and it delivered.
Yes. And then we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer.
The new one.
The reboot. Now, I'm a big fan of the cast. I really like Chase Suey Wonders.
Yeah, so good.
I really like Madeline Klein. I really like the guy from Him. I don't know his name.
Tyler something.
I do enjoy him a lot. And here's the funny thing. In my head, I Know What You Did Last Summer original is a great movie. We rewatched it this summer, you and I.
Did not hold up.
It's not good. It does not hold up. It's like the cast saves it, but it's just bad. So for most of the movie, I thought I Know What You Did Last Summer, the reboot, was better than the original. And I said it multiple times. I was like, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. This is actually better than the original. However, those last 20 minutes.
Lost you.
Were very brutal. It lost me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it was what we needed and what we wanted it to be. Is it good? I don't know, but it's not bad. And there's a post-credit scene that you should be sure to stick around for. I talked to somebody at work today and they didn't know what I was talking about. They just turned it off.
My friend didn't either. Because it has a celebrity in it who's been in the news. And when I brought it up.
That's how it came up at my job too.
They were like, she wasn't in it. And I was like, oh boy, I found it on YouTube and sent it to her. The last 20 minutes really lost me. But up until then, great. I think it suffered from maybe a lot of rewrites from the studio or something.
That's what I heard too. I heard that the last 20 minutes or so were rewritten and tacked on super late in the process.
Yeah, it felt like the original draft probably was a good movie, and then it kind of kept trying to kind of outdo itself, and it just got weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Little known fact, the samurai turned pretty's Lola Tang was cut from the movie, which we discussed while we were watching it. And also Nicholas Alexander Chavez was also cut from I Know What You Did Last Summer. So, you know, I would have been really interested and intrigued to see what their roles were, but we'll never know.
Sure won't. Second to last, we watched It's What's Inside, which I think you've talked about on the podcast before, and you talked about it as a movie that you wanted to watch for a second time. So I can say, as someone who was watching it for the first time, I loved it. I thought it was so good. It's so well done. It's like a very wacky, mind-bendery premise, but it's executed really well.
It's more of like a thriller, philosophical thriller kind of a thing. The basic premise is a bunch of people meet up the night before one of their weddings. They're college friends and they want to play crazy games, and one is like a tech billionaire and he brings a game that allows them to switch into each other's bodies, and they play a game. They're trying to figure out like who's in what body. Like, oh, is Christina in Micah's body? Is Micah in producer Beth's body? Is producer Beth in Mackenzie's body? What have you? And they play a few rounds, but things kind of spiral out of control. And of course, they have, since they're college friends, they have all this history, and some of them used to hook up and some of them hate each other. And it's really fun. It's a really fun movie. And then lastly, we watched Weapons, Your First Time.
I thought it was great. I liked how they broke it up into the section so you could see everyone's perspective of the similar events. I thought that that was a nice way to present the information. I keep going back and forth in my head because we talked a couple weeks ago about how we watched Barbarian, or months ago maybe at this point, and it's the same writer director, and I keep going back and forth in my head about which one I like better. What's your take?
I think I'm going to go with Weapons. I just thought Weapons was a more well-rounded movie. I thought it had humor, suspense, scary horror jumps, and Barbarian. At first, I thought it was Barbarian, but then I rewatched Barbarian. But both great. I'm just going to give Weapons like a slight edge. I feel like Weapons has more rewatchability for me. Like, I'll be watching it for years. Like, it's a classic. I'm going to put it in the rotation.
Yeah, it was a huge success, the movie marathon.
The movie marathon, 4 for 4, which never really happens.
No.
We wanted to see things that most of us have never seen. So I had seen Weapons and It's What's Inside. You hadn't seen any of them, had you?
I was the only one who hadn't seen any of them.
No. Yeah, and it was good. I am going to a horrorthon this Saturday in Santa Monica. It starts at 7 p.m. and it goes to like 6 in the morning.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll see how late I can. We'll see. We'll see.
You're just not tired enough. You just have to go ahead and push those limits.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, this is it. This has been season 4. I cannot believe it's over. We're going into 5 and 6, and we'll be back.
And look, I know I've complained about season 6 in particular. I do like season 5, but like, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, of course.
Like, talking about it, analyzing it, just knowing how it ends now.
And with the distance, like, I don't rewatch 5 and 6 ever. So coming in with semi-fresh eyes will be really interesting.
Yeah, I will have completely fresh eyes for season 6, as in I remember nothing. I'm the opposite of Pacey. I remember nothing.
I remember nothing.
I've watched the first half of season 5 a lot. But until then, we have the Bobbies. We have 2 interviews to draw.
Yeah, keep your eye on the Instagram for when those things will be coming out. And if the sound is bearable on this episode, maybe we'll do the Bobbies together. But if not, we'll just drink from afar like we are now.
Yeah, and we are looking at like a January-February season 5 launch. But in the meantime, we'll have these 3 episodes to drop.
Yeah. So have a bitchin' Halloween, have a bitchin' Thanksgiving, and have a bitchin' Christmas, and have a bitchin' Hanukkah, and have a bitchin' Kwanzaa. What am I forgetting?
New Year's.
Have a bitchin' New Year's.
And we'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.